The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy, Joe and Teresa Graydon, key features. Nurse uses Wellbutrin to cut back on cigarettes. Question. I am a nurse who has smoked for 17 years. I used to enjoy it. As a single mom, smoking sometimes felt like my only friend. Now I hate it. I get embarrassed lighting up in public, and I hate to think of the amount of money I have spent not only on cigarettes, but also on body sprays, air fresheners, teeth whiteners, etc. I tried Chantix when it first came out, and it was horrible. I had nightmares and suicidal thoughts, and I didn't care about anything. I thought smoking was better than these side effects. This time around, I started Wellbutrin, which is equivalent to Zyban, Z-Y-B-A-N. It has been so much better. My mood has been on an even keel. It's been a week, and I am down to 4 a day. Answer. We congratulate you on trying to quit smoking. It is one of the most important things you can do for your health. Wellbutrin or Zyban is prescribed to help people stop smoking. It may take 2 or 3 months of treatment to overcome the habit. It also is prescribed for depression, which might explain your stable mood. Question. I have type 2 diabetes and took Januvia for 6 weeks. I had severe muscle and joint pain and terrible nausea. I couldn't get out of bed in the morning because this medicine made me feel like I was dying. I stopped taking it and wonder how else I can control my blood sugar. Answer. The Food and Drug Administration has warned about severe and disabling joint pain associated with Januvia, Onglyza, and Tradjenta. There are many other approaches to controlling blood sugar in type 2 diabetics. In our guide to managing diabetes, we discuss dietary choices that can be useful, as well as herbs and medications to lower blood sugar. It is available at www.peoplespharmacy.com. Herbs that may be helpful include bitter melon, cinnamon, fenugreek, and nopal cactus. You also may want to discuss metformin or an old drug like glyburide with your physician. Black pepper helps stop bleeding. Question. Yesterday, I cut my bottom lip shaving and it would not stop bleeding. I used a styptic pencil several times with no success. No way I could stop it. About a half hour later, my wife read your article about black pepper. She dampened a paper napkin, loaded it down with pepper, and I put it on the cut. 5 minutes later, I gently removed it, and Viola, no more bleeding. I went on to eat breakfast, had my cup of coffee, and had no further problem the rest of the day. Answer. We first learned about this remedy thanks to a wood carver. He and his hobbyist friends always kept packets of black pepper with their carving tools. That's because they had learned from experience that black pepper helped stop bleeding. Since we shared this idea, we have heard from scores of people who have tried it with surprising success. People also have told us that cayenne pepper or powdered sage or thyme can provide the same benefit. Question. I have used several of your recommendations for leg cramps, and they only worked for about half the night. I mentioned it to my doctor, and he checked my blood work. My magnesium was low. I started taking a supplement and have not had leg cramps since. I would suggest letting people know to have their magnesium checked. Answer. Others should follow your good example and ask their doctors to monitor their magnesium levels. As many as half of Americans don't get the recommended daily allowance of magnesium in their diets. Moreover, many medications can deplete the body of this essential mineral. People who are low in magnesium may have high blood pressure and a higher risk of heart disease. They also may be more susceptible to migraine headaches and to menstrual cramps as well as muscle cramps. People with impaired kidney function should not take magnesium supplements. Immunotherapy improves breast cancer survival rates, by Denise Grady from the New York Times. Women with an aggressive type of breast cancer lived longer if they received immunotherapy plus chemotherapy rather than chemo alone, a major study has found. The results are expected to change the standard of care for women like those in the clinical trial who had advanced cases of triple negative breast cancer. That form of the disease often resists standard therapies and survival rates are poor. It is twice as common in African American women as in white women and more likely to occur in younger women. Researchers said the new study was a long-awaited breakthrough for immunotherapy in breast cancer. Until now, most progress has been in other cancers, including lung cancer and melanoma and aggressive skin cancer. These findings may lead to the first approval by the Food and Drug Administration for an immunotherapy drug to treat breast cancer, but the approval would likely be limited to a certain type of aggressive cancer. Although triple-negative tumors occur in only about 15% of patients with invasive breast cancer in the United States, or nearly 40,000 each year, they account for a disproportionate share of deaths, as many as 30% to 40%. These women really needed a break, Dr. Ingrid Mayer, a breast cancer specialist at Vanderbilt University, said in a telephone interview. Nothing has worked well. Mayer, who was not part of the study, called the findings very significant. She said she had received consulting fees from seven drug companies, including Genentech, which is the maker of the immunotherapy drug in the study, and paid for the research. The term triple negative refers to the tumor's lack of sensitivity to the hormones estrogen and progesterone, and their lack of a protein called HER2, which is a target of treatment. The immunotherapy in the study was Tecentriq, T-E-C-E-N-T-R-I-Q, which belongs to a class of drugs called checkpoint inhibitors. The chemotherapy was nab-paclitaxel, or Abraxane, A-B-R-A-X-A-N-E. The findings were published Saturday, or recently, in the New England Journal of Medicine and were to be presented at a meeting of the European Society for Medical Oncology in Munich. The study included 902 patients treated at 246 medical centers in 41 countries. Genentech, which is a part of Roche, has already submitted the data to the FDA for approval. Checkpoint inhibitors such as Tecentriq work by helping T cells, a type of white blood cell that is part of the immune system, recognize cancer and attack it. Research that led to these drugs won this year's Nobel Prize in Medicine. The drugs generally work for fewer than half of patients, but can bring lasting recoveries even to people who are severely ill. Side effects can be dangerous, even life-threatening, and treatment costs more than $100,000 a year. DNA unlocks family ties. From the Wall Street Journal, researchers identify people by analyzing genetic data posted by relatives online. Genetic information posted online can be used to identify relatives who never participated in the DNA testing or agreed to share their personal information, according to two new papers highlighting the privacy issues arising as such testing gains popularity. In the papers, separate sets of researchers described how they identified people by drawing on results from DNA testing that others had shared online, often in the hope of finding relatives. The risks are receiving scrutiny as more people get their DNA tested by companies such as 23andMe, Inc., and Ancestry, and then post the data on public genealogy sites. Genetic privacy is becoming compromised over time, said Eric Topol, a professor at the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, California, who wasn't involved in the studies published Thursday. Genetic data can reveal information that people don't always want to share. DNA can be used to identify someone's risk of a future medical condition, opening individuals and their children to possible discrimination or information they don't want to know. The issue attracted widespread notice in April after investigators, who had been looking for decades for an alleged serial killer known as the Golden State Killer, said that they got a break by comparing DNA collected from a crime scene to genetic profiles on online genealogy sites, including one called GED Match. At least 13 other criminal cases this year have also been reportedly solved using a similar approach, according to one of the papers published in the journal Science. While people typically have a few siblings, they could have dozens or even hundreds of third cousins and find themselves surprised and upset that they are part of a police investigation because of something done by a person they have never met. Ancestry and 23andMe said they don't provide access to customers' genetic test data that would lead to the kinds of identifications the researchers made, and don't share information with law enforcement unless legally required. In the second paper published in the journal Cell, researchers used an algorithm they devised and matched siblings with siblings and parents with children when one individual was in an ancestry database and the other in a law enforcement database. The law enforcement database, known as Combined DNA Index System, or CODIS, C-O-D-I-S, contains genetic information of convicted offenders and those who have been arrested. It is used by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and other agencies. The researchers said they found close relatives for more than 30% of the 872 people whose genetic information was studied, even though the type of information in CODIS was different from the data uploaded to the ancestry sites. It really is really hard to anonymize genetic data, says Michael D. Edge, a population geneticist at the University of California, Davis, and an author of the Cell paper. People's notion of genetic privacy may have to change. In the Science paper, researchers said ordinary people outside law enforcement could use the techniques they employ to identify people using DNA test results. The researchers from Columbia University, Hebrew University of Jerusalem, and direct-to-consumer genetic testing company MyHeritage said they found the identity of an anonymous woman whose DNA information was publicly available on the Internet. They said they uploaded the information to GED Match's public database, which has more than a million profiles, and found matches to two distant relatives. Using other public records, the researchers said it took only an hour to find the ancestral couple who lived four to six generations ago, to whom the individuals were distantly related. It took another day, the researchers said, to sort through publicly available data to identify the woman. In principle, anybody can do this. Yamiv Ehrlich, a senior author of the Science paper and chief science officer of MyHeritage, said in an interview. Given such potential, the researchers call for a reevaluation of the status quo when it comes to genetic privacy, especially in the United States, where genetic testing is increasingly accessible. Customers who get tested by 23andMe or other direct-to-consumer companies can download their raw data and then upload it on other websites such as GED Match. The researchers propose that direct-to-consumer companies create a digital signature on the file containing raw data so websites like GED Match could assess whether the uploaded information came from an actual customer rather than law enforcement. From the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. Health tips. take a pass on gas. You've amped up your bean intake to get more fiber in your diet, but that's left you more than a little gassy. While passing some gas each day is normal, you may be able to minimize it by, number one, adding fiber gradually. Adding too much too fast can cause discomfort. Increase your intake of fiber-rich foods or fiber supplements such as Citracell or Metamucil over the course of several weeks. Number two, experimenting with high-fiber foods. Some high-fiber foods, such as beans, onions, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, and whole grains, may affect you more than others. Try removing one food at a time to see if your gas improves. Gas-producing foods may be less, so if they're steamed, maybe less so if they're steamed, baked, or broiled. Three, cutting back on fried and fatty foods. Fat slows stomach emptying, delaying the time it takes for fiber to pass through. Four, avoiding carbonated beverages. Fizzy drinks are a common culprit for gas and gas pains. Five, limiting artificial sweeteners. Sorbitol and mannitol can produce gas. And finally, using gas-reducing additives. Although they won't stop all your gas, non-prescription products such as alpha-galactosidase or Beano may reduce symptoms. If these steps don't help, talk to your doctor. Excess gas, particularly if coupled with weight loss, diarrhea, or abdominal pain, can be an indicator of serious conditions such as pancreatic disease, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, ISBO, or an inflammatory bowel disease. News and our views. Fitness and weight control both matter for heart health. When it comes to heart health, is it better to be fit but overweight or to be of normal weight and sedentary? According to new research, compared with being fit and of healthy weight, both combinations increase your likelihood of having risk factors for heart disease. The study published in Mayo Clinic Proceedings involved adults over age 70 who were part of a database in Norway. About 900 men and women were assessed for physical fitness using a treadmill and body composition, including body mass index, BMI. The study also determined who had or was being treated for undesirable cholesterol levels, high blood pressure, or elevated fasting blood glucose, a marker of diabetes. Anyone with or being treated for any two of these risk factors for cardiovascular disease was considered at high risk of developing a cardiovascular problem such as a heart attack or stroke. Not surprisingly, people who had a BMI of 25 or less and good fitness, such as at least 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous exercise performed 5 days a week, were the least likely to be at high risk of cardiovascular disease. In the table below, you can see how risk climbs with lack of fitness being overweight. So a BMI of 25 or under, the higher fitness, baseline level of cardiovascular risk, low fitness, 2.6 times greater risk. BMI over 25, higher fitness, 3.4 times greater risk, low fitness, 6.13 times greater risk. While this study shows an increase or shows increases in the likelihood of risk factors for cardiovascular problems, it didn't look for or quantify the increased risk of actual cardiovascular events. In this regard, the Mayo Clinic doctors say it's important to recognize that it's never too late to change for the better in terms of weight and activity. Nasal spray to provide rapid depression relief under study. When depression becomes severe, every moment counts. That's why the approval of a drug that improves symptoms of depression in a matter of hours could someday provide hope for many with this common condition. A study published online in the July 2018 issue of the American Journal of Psychiatry demonstrates that a nasal spray of the drug esketamine provides this effect. The study involved 68 people who were experiencing major depression. The participants received either esketamine or a placebo twice weekly for 4 weeks, in addition to standard antidepressant therapy. When compared with those given a placebo, those given esketamine reported significant symptom improvement just 4 hours after the initial dose. This is important because standard antidepressants often require weeks to months to reach their optimal effects. Esketamine nasal spray is still under study and has not received Food and Drug Administration approval. Mayo Clinic experts say there is a real need for fast-acting symptoms relief of depression, and the availability of such an option has the potential to revolutionize how the condition is managed. Vaginal atrophy, relieving dryness and pain. Vaginal atrophy, a thinning, drying, and sometimes inflammation of vaginal walls, is one of the most common challenges women face after menopause. It's believed that atrophy of the vaginal tissues affects up to half of these women. Unfortunately, few women seek to help in managing their symptoms. If you're affected, don't shy away from finding solutions or seeking care. Estrogen's effects. Vaginal atrophy occurs when the estrogen levels in your body drop, usually after menopause. The condition may make intercourse painful due to vaginal dryness or irritation and decreased lubrication during sexual activity. In addition, it often leads to distressing urinary symptoms such as burning with urination, urinary urgency, incontinence, and urinary tract infections. Because of the interplay of vaginal and urinary symptoms, vaginal atrophy was reclassified under the name genitourinary syndrome or menopause GSM. Some women may begin to notice symptoms in the years leading up to menopause. Others may not experience a problem until several years into menopause. In addition to naturally occurring or surgically induced menopause, certain radiation therapies, anti-estrogen hormone therapies, and chemotherapies for cancer also may impact estrogen levels enough to cause vaginal and urinary changes. Relief for dryness. If you experience vaginal dryness or irritation, there are actions and products that can help. Try vaginal moisturizer, over-the-counter products such as KY, liquid beads, Replans, Slickquid, Naturals, Satin can be used to restore moisture in the vaginal walls. These products are applied several times a week, usually at bedtime. Use a lubricant. These non-prescription products improve discomfort from intercourse by reducing friction. Organic water-based or silicone-based hypoallergenic lubricants, including Yes, Joe, J-O, and Slickquid, are less likely to cause vaginal irritation than are products that contain oil. Avoid products containing petroleum jelly like Vaseline. Allow time for arousal. The natural lubrication created from sexual arousal can help reduce symptoms. Hormonal treatments. If your symptoms are bothersome, even after trying the steps above, don't hesitate to talk to your doctor about other options. In particular, estrogen therapy is the most effective treatment for moderate to severe atrophy symptoms. Estrogen may be applied directly to the vagina or be delivered throughout the body systemically with options such as a pill or patch. Vaginal estrogen therapy is effective at lower doses and allows less estrogen to reach your bloodstream. This is important because it can allow for continued estrogen use in women for whom the risk of systemic exposure from a pill or patch might exceed the potential benefits, such as women at high risk of breast cancer or blood clots. Vaginal estrogen therapy may come in the form of a cream, estrace, Premarin, a ring, estring, or tablet, Vagifem, Uvafem, that's inserted into the vagina. Creams or tablets may be inserted daily at first and then tapered, while a ring typically remains in place to release a consistent dose of estrogen until it needs to be replaced, generally every 3 months. With systemic hormone therapy, the effects of estrogen are delivered throughout the body. Because of this, women use it to treat other menopausal symptoms, such as hot flashes or night sweats. Systemic estrogen may be delivered as a pill, patch, gel, spray, or vaginal ring. Anytime hormone therapy is used, it's best to begin with the lowest effective dose. While women closer to menopause typically experience greater benefits than risks, this ratio may shift with increasing age, Your doctor may help you weigh your risks and decide on a specific plan. Kegels and dilators. Pelvic floor exercises, commonly known as Kegels, K-E-G-E-L-S, strengthen the muscles that support the pelvic organs, especially the uterus and bladder. These exercises also strengthen weak vaginal muscles and may help relieve incontinence, which is a symptom of vaginal atrophy. To identify your pelvic floor muscles, stop urination in midstream. If you succeed, you've identified the right muscles for the exercises. Tighten those muscles, hold the contraction for 5 seconds, then relax for 5 seconds. Work up to keeping the muscles contracted for 10 seconds at a time, relaxing for 10 seconds between contractions. Aim for at least 3 sets of 10 repetitions a day. On the other hand, some women may experience a pain with intercourse because of the tight pelvic floor muscles. Specific pelvic floor therapy, which is different from Kegel exercises, can help relax these muscles. As atrophy progresses, the vagina may shorten and narrow, while the muscles may tighten. And if this leads to uncomfortable intercourse, devices called vaginal dilators can be used in gradually increasing sizes to stretch the tissues. A doctor or physical therapist who specializes in pelvic issues can provide these devices and instruct on their proper use. Other treatment options. For women who don't use estrogen therapy, other drugs may be recommended for painful intercourse or dyspareunia associated with vaginal atrophy. They include Osphena, O-S-P-H-E-N-A. This is a selective estrogen receptor modulator, S-E-R-M, that may be used as an alternative to vaginal estrogen therapy. However, the drug has been shown to increase hot flashes. Intrarosa, I-N-T-R-A-R-O-S-A. In 2016, this vaginal preparation of the hormone dehydroepinephrine, DHEA, was approved for moderate to severe dyspareunia in menopausal women. It's taken as a daily vaginal suppository. The use of laser therapy is under exploration as a non-drug treatment for vaginal atrophy. Early data on effectiveness and safety is promising. Maintaining your sexuality. It's common for sexual habits to change in later years, but maintaining a level of sexual activity is an effective way to both prevent and manage vaginal atrophy. Women who are sexually active have fewer symptoms related to vaginal atrophy. If dryness or discomfort is a factor, try establishing new patterns. This may mean taking the time for ample foreplay, including a lubricant, or finding positions that are most comfortable for you. Above all, communicate any new needs with your partner. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. So long until next time, and if you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Stay healthy.